Hi, I'm Mike Martindale, pastor here at the Heights Fellowship. We are so glad that you guys joined us today. We know that online isn't a replacement for the real thing, but we hope that as you listen to this message, that the Spirit of God would still move in your life. Thank you for listening.
Mike is leading today in our discovery class for those people who are seeking a connection to the Heights Fellowship, and we've got a good group back there that he's been leading through that class since 9 o'clock this morning, and they're finishing up, and so you get me this morning. I'm excited about being here, and we've got a message that's going to challenge and encourage each of us. But it was motivated by what we just did at the beginning of this service, as we honored our graduating seniors. This time of year, we honor them, we acknowledge them. They're about to graduate next week. We had Tech graduations yesterday. We've had Wayland Baptist graduations. We've had South Plains graduations. This is that time of a year when students especially are making transitions from what they've known to be comfortable and safe. And this is what I know to stepping out into a new opportunity, new challenges in their life. And so as I was getting ready for today, I thought back to about 16 years ago, which I know most of you were not working. They know it's not working, so they're back there working on it. But anyway, in preparation for this message, I thought back to 16 years ago when I was a parent of a graduating senior, and all that went along with that. There was excitement, no doubt, but there was also that feeling of, I'm not sure I'm ready for all this. I'm not sure for my own life to be changing like that. And so 16 years ago, probably pretty close to the day, I preached a message that was called 18 Things I Want Mandy to Hear One More Time Before Leaving for College. I added the ED today since we're past that because I wanted her to hear those things. You're saying, okay, I'm sitting here today and you're going to preach a message to our three graduating seniors. No, I am going to do that. But I'm also going to preach this message to you parents who have kids that are birth to 17, they may be high school juniors. I'm going to preach this message today. I'm going to teach to you grandparents who've already been through this cycle and understand the process, who can encourage and help your children who are now parents to walk through this change that you're having to experience because of this event and this success that we call graduation. But when I sat down to do this 16 years ago, it was very personal. It was something that I'm going, man, this is real. She's fixing to leave our house. What's that going to look like? You know, from her perspective, she was really excited. And from Mina and I's perspective, we were really excited too. But yet, it was also a scary time. What does that really look like? You know, have I done enough as a parent to prepare my student, my child, to make this transition to college, and then from college to what we call real life? You know, real life really doesn't start till you're about 22 or 23, says our culture. But see, that what I'm going to share with you today from Scripture is going to, you as students, it's going to give you a guide. Okay, as you prepare to make that transition, to you as parents or grandparents, it's going to give you ammunition. It's going to give you a plan. Am I teaching my children, my students, these things? Am I communicating these truths from God's Word to prepare them so that you, when you get to that point of transition, you can answer that question, yes, I've prepared them. God, they're yours. I've got to trust you with them. So we're going to look at the 18 things that I wanted Mandy to hear one more time before heading to college. Number one, Make things of Christ your priority. I wanted her to hear that. I wanted her to understand that. Because there's going to be a lot of other things that were going to come at her as a college freshman that were going to pull her priorities, that were going to say, you need to do this more than you need to be focused on Christ. And so Jesus said it this way, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Mike used that verse last week in his message. Because, see, that's where our focus should be, not with all the other stuff. All the other stuff's going to come. Grades are going to come. Relationships are going to come. Success after graduation is going to come. God's going to take care of that. He's got that. But he says, seek me first. Make me your priority. Number two, greater is he who is in you. I wanted her to know that. 1 John 4:4 says, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. There's going to be times and circumstances that our students, that you as adults in the workplace, are going to think, this is bigger than me. I can't handle this. I'm going to lose in this circumstance. But what you have to remember is the truth of that scripture is that greater is he who's in you than what's in the world. I wanted her to know that as she encountered those challenges of leaving my home. Number three, hide God's word in your heart. I had a 4-year-old little girl after the service who came up to me and quoted this verse to me. And that's exactly, students, that's exactly why that verse is important. Because as you progress from 4 years old or 10 years old or 12 years old or wherever you find yourself, if you treasure God's word enough to hide it away in your heart, that you know what it says, then you're prepared for the opportunities. You're prepared for the challenges of life. The writer in Psalms, David wrote Psalms 119. He said, your word I've treasured in my heart. Why? Why have I treasured it in my heart? That I may not sin against you. And when your children leave your home, they're going to be challenged with opportunities to sin, to get away from what you've taught them, what the church has taught them, what God's word says. So it's going to be very important that they have God's word as part of who they are. How do you do that? You do it by memorizing it. You do it by knowing what it says. That's what this whole series we've been going through the last several weeks about, entitled Say What, is so that we'll what does it really say? On some of these verses, we're a little confused or we misquote. But we treasure it in our hearts so that we don't sin against God. That's why. Because we get in those moments of temptation and we go, this is what God's word says, because we made it a priority in our life to know it. And not just to know it, as Jim was saying, intellectually, but to actually make application and live that out by the truth of it. Number four, let God's word guide you. Okay? As you head out into this world, Mandy, I want God's word to guide you. Come back to it often. Psalms 119:105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. See, it's good for that next decision that's right in front of you, but it's also good for those decisions down the path. You know, most college students, when they come into college, they know exactly what they're going to do. And then 5 years later, they're long ways away from that exactly what they were going to do at age 18. So there's opportunities to make decisions. Why are they going to the college they're going to? Why are they dating the person they're dating? Why are they working the job they're working? It comes back to, I'm seeking Christ first, number one. And because I know what his word says and because it's guiding me, I'm going to seek it to make those decisions. We as adults should follow that as well. Okay, but see, as a student, if you get these things set in your life, then as a parent, I can more with confidence say, she's going to do okay. She's going to do just fine. Number five, trust God, not yourself. The wisdom of Solomon, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Doesn't say make your paths not with bumps in them, not with potholes, but it will make it straight when you trust in the Lord and not in your own understanding. Because our own understanding says this doesn't make sense. I mean, we can look at our country today from a big picture perspective and go, man, how did we get here? This doesn't make sense. But see, we believe what God's Word says, and the wisdom is I don't trust in my own understanding. I trust in what God's Word says. Number six, please God, not men. You're going to have a lot of people in your life that are going to entice you to please them. They're most important. So how you respond to them becomes, I've got to please that person. I'm a people pleaser. I like people to be happy. I like people to get along with each other, to like me. But see, when it comes down to it, I've got to ultimately please God. And you want your students to understand that. You want your children to understand that, that God is who they have to please. Ultimately, yes, they need to obey you. But they've got to please God over pleasing men. Number seven, don't worry, pray. You know, if I took a poll today of how many of you have worried this week, it would probably be unanimous. If you've ever heard me speak before, you've probably heard me quote this verse. I try to insert it somewhere in almost every time I talk because it's that important, because our first response many times is to worry. And so as I send my daughter off to college, I don't want her worrying all the time. There's going to be things that are going to prompt worrying. But Paul told the church at Philippi, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You know, what we need to gain from that truth of Scripture is that our first response should be prayer, not worry. It doesn't mean we're not going to worry. We probably will. But our first response should be that of prayer, because ultimately that's what's going to give us a peace that surpasses all comprehension. And when I sent Mandy off to Texas Tech 16 years ago, I wanted her to live in peace. I didn't want her life to be chaos. She needed to learn, I can seek God anytime. I can pray to Him. I can talk to Him. I can listen to Him. And then she can call her daddy. Number eight. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5, 6, and 18. Three things there in those three little verses. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. That last phrase tells us why we're doing the first three. If we're in Jesus Christ, we have a relationship with Him. Paul tells the Christians at Thessalonica there at the church, he said, this is God's will for you. Three little things. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks. Now the circumstances of our lives don't naturally lead to rejoicing. But still Paul said rejoice always. See, all of those are superlatives. He doesn't say sometimes or it's better. He says always do that. In everything do that. In all things be thankful. So if all means all and everything means everything, then the good end of the spectrum, yep. Also the negative end of the spectrum. Because we as experienced adults know that life isn't always good. Okay? It's not. But the teaching that I wanted Mandy to hear was you still rejoice in it. You're constantly listening to God. You're in prayer without ceasing, always. And then you give thanks for those things. Even that professor that you can't stand, or that roommate that you're not even talking to, learn to give thanks for them. You might get to talk to him then. Number 9, don't go to battle without your armor. Ephesians 6, 13 through 17 says, therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with the truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. When students leave the safety and the security of your house, of your home, it is a battlefield out there. They're being attacked spiritually all the time. We are too as adults. They've got to wear their armor. They've got to be prepared spiritually in all those aspects and be fully armored, not partially, but all of it. As we talked about earlier, how important the Word of God is. The only offensive weapon in that armor is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. It's back to hiding it in your heart. See how this all goes together. When you're fully armored, you're ready for a battle because there's going to be attacks. If you've been to a college campus in the last 100 years, I think that'll take care of everybody, then you know, as a believer, you were attacked spiritually. You were tempted. You were put in a position that was difficult. How do you deal with that? You fight back. You protect yourself. You step into it fully armed. Number 10, in Joshua chapter 1, Joshua has been given the leadership of the Israelite people. Moses is no longer the leader. 5 times in chapter 1, Joshua is told by God, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. See, those are responses to what's going to happen. How do you respond? Got my armor on. Okay, I'm ready for battle. How are you going to go into battle? By being strong and courageous. Why can you do that? Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And as a believer, the Lord our God is with us wherever we go. We can be strong and we can be courageous. This is a biggie. And since Mandy's not here, I can say it was a biggie for her. It's not all about you, Mandy. It's not all about you. And I promise you, graduating high school seniors think, the majority of them, not yours probably, think it's all about them, that the world actually doesn't revolve around the sun, it revolves around them. But see, God's Word tells them, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. It's not all about you. There's going to be times where you think that, but be reminded of what God's Word says. Do things with people with humility. Be sensitive to them. How can I put them first instead of me first all the time? In the next step of that, Jesus said, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. Be a light to others. Once you realize it's not all about you and that you should put others before yourself, now let your light shine. Let people see Jesus in your life. Jesus was the light of the world. And we're an extension of Him. He told us, go and make disciples. How do we do that? Partially by letting our light shine so that others can see us as being little Christs. as imitations of Him. Here's a biggie. Number 13, be a forgiver. Most of the marriage counseling I do post-wedding ceremony involves couples not being able to forgive each other for whatever, lots of different reasons, but somehow it's involved in there. That's why they're in my office. That's why they're struggling, is because forgiveness was not extended at some point. It's been allowed to grow and become a cancer. So learning to be a forgiver. People are going to hurt you. People are going to do things that create harm, that create pain. Colossians 3, Paul says this way, so as those who have been chosen of God, that's us, as believers in Jesus Christ, holy and beloved, that's us, put on a heart of compassion, of kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you forgive. See? That's why. That's should be our motivation for giving. When we get to that point, you're going, well, I just can't. They hurt me too bad. I can't forgive them. You were forgiven. God's instruction is for us to be forgivers. Number 14, be quick to listen, slow to anger. I was in a pre-marriage counseling session just yesterday morning, and the future wife in this couple, she, when she got to pre-marriage counseling, she was ready. She just took off and started talking. And she probably talked for 10 minutes. I think all I said was, hello. Glad you're here. And she took off. She was ready. She had been planning for this for weeks. And her future husband kept putting his hand on her, you know, let Randy go. But I said, no, you just keep talking. Because she needed to communicate. And what did I need to do? I needed to listen. Okay? I needed to listen. It's very important that as you deal with people, that we become good listeners. James said, this you know, my beloved brethren, to everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Okay? Not every circumstance leads to anger, but a lot of times the conflicts we have in life is because we didn't take the time to listen. We don't have all the details. We don't have all the facts. We're making judgments about the situation before we know all the details, which makes us mad. Well, if we'd have waited to listen to sentence 2, 3, and 4 instead of just sentence 1, we may have gone, oh, I don't need to be angry. I'm sure glad I listened. So, I want Mandy to be that way. Number 15, be teachable and teach others. This verse is the basis for our university ministry here at the Heights Fellowship, 2 Timothy 2:2. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will teach others also. You've heard me teach on this verse before. But what I want you to see here, students, be teachable. The other thing about graduating high school seniors, okay? Little insight. They think they know everything. Some of them will actually tell you that. I already know that. 58 years old. I still need to be teachable. I still need to be open to learning. When you go off to this new opportunity, this new transition in your life, be teachable. You don't know it all. I remember giving a baseball lesson one time to this. He was about 11 years old. 11 years old. Okay? And everything I would try to tell him that he was could do better. Oh, I know that. I know that. I know that. No, you don't. listen, be teachable. And then what that verse challenges us with is to go teach others, see? What does that look like? When Mandy went off to college, she was not a parent yet. Now she has two kids. So now she has the opportunity to teach because she was teachable. Number 16, be a servant. Matthew 20:28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. You know, that description, the description of a servant, is really who Jesus was. It's probably the best term or picture or model of who Jesus was. He was a servant. Yeah, he taught, he healed. Some of those things we read about in the stories in the Gospels, but look how many times he was giving himself to other people. He was serving them, even through his teaching, even through his healing. At the core of who he was, he was a servant. So as we prepare our children, our students, to go into the world, teach them. Be a servant. Serve others. And in doing that, they most model who Jesus Christ is. 17, be a fruit tree. Galatians 5:22-25. You see Paul using this same terminology in the previous letter we looked at. Very important, obviously. He wrote it to two different churches. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. I have a frame, a picture in my office that have those things on there. Because I want to be constantly reminded of those nine areas. And when I look at those, that's a tool that I personally use and that I challenge others to use as an evaluation tool. How am I doing in looking like Christ? Let me see. Am I loving others well? Am I extending joy through my circumstances? Do I have peace in my life? And am I being a peacemaker? Do I have patience, kindness, goodness? Am I faithful? Am I being gentle with people? Do I have self-control with my own mouth and actions? See, it's a great evaluation tool to teach your kids to come back to it, especially if they're struggling. Are you being patient with people? Are you loving people well? Are you being kind to them? Or is everything about you and you're having no self-control? And the last one, we're almost done. Be a finisher. 2 Timothy 4:7, Paul tells Timothy, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course and I've kept the faith. Paul telling Timothy, this is what I've lived my life. I've finished strongly. See, I used to be a runner. I'm now more of a walker. But the idea in participating in races, whether it's a sprint or a marathon, is to do what? It's to finish. Okay? It's to finish. The instruction that we should give our kids, that we should extend to each other, is don't do this just for a little while, those first 17 things. Finish them. See, this is toward the end of Paul's ministry when he's writing this letter. It's toward the end of Paul's influence in Timothy's life. Finish strong. Be a finisher. And what God's going to do when all of these things come together is that you begin looking like Christ. And we as parents, as grandparents, when we let go of that rein and we ask ourselves the question, you know, did I do enough? Did I prepare them well? We have something to go by. Let's pray. Congratulations to all of you who've graduated in the last few days. And I hope you heard something this morning that encouraged you or challenged you toward helping others be like Christ. make Christ your priority. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for this opportunity. We thank you for your word that gives us the instruction that as believers, we don't have to wonder about how to follow you, how to be like you. We can go there. God, I thank you as a parent and now a grandparent that I can continue to use this list to pour into my daughter's life, my son-in-law's life, my grandson and granddaughter's life, so that they can continue that in the lives of others and they can be prepared to deal with what this world has to throw at them. God, I thank you that you provided us with what we need. And it's your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We believe in the power of the Word of God. If you made a decision, we would love to hear from you. As well, if you have any questions, let us know at the email listed at the bottom of the screen. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a good day.